You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network. Attention all theater lovers! This Sunday, April 21st, Broadway Podcast Network is holding the first ever Broadway Podfest, a full day of podcast recordings with some of your favorite Broadway stars, live from the Museum of Broadway, which is right in the heart of Times Square. The day begins at 11 a.m. Eastern and features a full day of programming that you don't want to miss. Visit bpn.fm/podfest to get all the details and register to attend for free. That's bpn.fm/podfest.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello and welcome to the Break a Bat podcast, where baseball meets Broadway. An attempt to show that my two favorite mediums don't have to live in such separate worlds and maybe even break some stigmas. We're happy to have you with us. Now let's play ball. Hello and welcome to Break a Bat. I'm your host, Al Malafronte, coming at you remotely for the Broadway Podcast Network. It's great to be back with everyone in the heart of our Broadway Bombers block that we're going to do for these next few weeks, alternating between some of our favorite stars from both the stage and the stadium. Two people I'd like to thank for helping put tonight's show together. The first is Rachel Saltzman over at Schachter Entertainment. And the other is the co-creator of Break a Bat, Chris Katzman. The two of them had actually linked up even before everything went down with COVID-19 in order to bring tonight's special guest to the batter's box. And I'm so grateful they did. Chris wanted to be on tonight's show. Unfortunately, due to some health circumstances, he can't be. And being the big Aroldis Chapman fan that he is, and how the always theatrical Chapman, Broadway's and baseball's fastest throwing man of all time, given how he is Broadway's favorite Yankee, very much thanks to Chris, I've got this a little Aroldis Chapman bobblehead next to me tonight that makes me feel like he's right alongside me. And for those of you at home who can't see the bobblehead, the pitcher's mound is actually wrapped in a page from a Jagged Little Pill playbill. I cannot say that I designed this, but that credit goes to my sister who went to see the show with me. So Chris, we're thinking about you tonight and hope you feel better. One thing I've been trying to do with the show lately is to give everyone some context as to why I enjoy watching certain performers both on stage and at the stadium. And then when we're lucky enough, we get to welcome some of those performers to the batter's box. And since hopefully we're drawing closer to the start of an MLB season, there's no better way to do that than with some parallels. There's a handful of players throughout baseball history who have a career where they were taking center stage for multiple powerhouse franchises. I mean, at least here in New York, the first ones that probably come to mind are Paul O'Neill with the Reds and the Yankees, Piazza with the Dodgers and the Mets. I think if you ask any of those fan bases, they'll only speak fondly of those guys and really consider them as their own. And I think it's extremely rare when you have someone who did it across three teams. If you look up and down the list of Hall of Famers, for the most part, there's really only one or sometimes two signature teams that they were a part of and made contributions to at a high level for an extended period of time. The ones that span three teams, they're certainly special. And I think it says something about a performer when they can make an impact on multiple fan bases throughout the baseball world, because each one is so unique. And here on Broadway, it's no different. You know, every fan base wants something different to represent the brand well. You know, just as an example, you know, the Carousel fans are a lot different from the Mean Girls fans. You're not going to find a lot of individual people who are going to have some combo of Hello Dolly, Beautiful, and Beetlejuice on their top three shows list. And, you know, for all you baseball folks, you know the culture around the Phillies fan base is much different from the Padres, the Marlins, and the Cubs. You could go on and on. Each fan base is incredibly unique. And when they take a liking to a performer, especially when that performer is stepping into a role they've come to love, so often that affection is really a testament to what makes that performer so unique and what they're able to inject into that franchise that wasn't there before. And I think what makes today's hitter so special is because over the past 6 years or so, She's made her mark here on Broadway as a lead in three very different shows with very different fan bases. She played Sherry in Rock of Ages, Glinda in Wicked, and most recently Lauren in Kinky Boots and My Two Cents. And I don't think I've used this superlative on the show before. I think that she probably has one of my favorite singing voices in the whole industry. And it's so unique because she can use it in a lot of different ways. And as you could probably tell by, you know, some of the roles she played and some of the shows I just mentioned. So it's certainly great to have her join us on Break a Bat tonight. And with that, if you'll please turn your attention to home plate, just beyond the marquee, now batting, Carrie St. Louis. What's happening, Carrie?
Oh, the crowd goes wild.
No studio sound effects tonight.
Exactly. What an intro. I'm so flattered. Thank you.
You know what? You did a show at 54 Below a few years ago called Always in the Ballpark, Usually in the Wrong Seat. I figure you'd have like some familiarity with some of the parallels I like to throw in those intros.
Yes. Wow. I mean, hearing you talk about them, I realized there are quite a few parallels, especially with the brands of different shows and how they're representing themselves and, you know, showing themselves in person too. So, yeah. I did. Yeah. That was, I mean, I don't know if you saw the press photo for that show, but it was me in my T-ball outfit with big, you know, Coke bottle glasses, age 7 or 8 or something. So yeah, I was into T-ball. My dad would beg to differ. We have a funny story actually that my dad was the coach or the parent that helps coach. And one time I was on first base, which was my favorite because I could talk to everybody as they came through the bases. I was, you know, gabbing away with a girl on first base, and my dad, you know, reached out and said, Carrie, pay attention. You know, someone's batting. And I said, Dad, I know who's batting. It's Renee. So obviously I didn't have a very illustrious career in baseball, but I was very socially, I was very into it socially, I'd say.
I got to ask you though, you know, you've sung the national anthem about it at what, half a dozen ballparks at this point? Why hasn't Yankee Stadium made the cut?
I don't know. I mean, honestly, my family is a Red Sox family. So I don't know how my dad would feel about the Yankees. I did the Mets and I did like the Dodgers. I'm out here in LA. I'm from Southern California. And it's so fun. I mean, there's nothing, I really love going to baseball games. They're so fun. Just the cheering and the hot dogs and the beer.
When you get to do the anthem, do they bring you to one of those suites after and you get like all the free food and drinks that you want?
Yeah, they give you great seats and they hook it up, which is, it's still funny to me because, you know, as a theater kid my whole life, I didn't really have a lot of street cred with the sport, you know, people that were sportier athletes. And now I get the best seats in the house, you know, for all of these things. I sang for the Lakers versus the Clippers and I had courtside seats at Staples Center. I was like, who knew? The music kid gets cool, gets the best seats in the house at the end of the day. So, yeah.
Yeah, hanging out with Jack Nicholson and whatnot, that's pretty good.
Exactly. So,
is there one particular stadium that stood out to you?
I mean, Staples Center was really cool because I went to college at USC, in Southern California. So to be singing for two LA teams, and it was, again, Staples Center is so iconic and Paul McCartney was there. So I got to sing for Paul McCartney, which feels pretty cool. But yeah, I think Mets was fun too. I don't know. I can't really say for certain, but it's harder to hear certainly on a baseball field than in a basketball stadium or a hockey rink even has great acoustics, but that's because they're enclosed, you know, so.
Now you grew up around Palm Springs?
I did. Yeah.
Is baseball kind of like the number one sport out there or is it a different sport? I was always curious about that.
I mean, I think golf is big out there. Tennis is huge. They have the Pacific Live Open. They have a huge Indian Wells tennis garden out there. So there's a big tennis following. But yeah, I guess baseball. I mean, I just grew up with T-ball and so did my brother. But I don't know if they have a team or anything. I don't know. I didn't come back. I can talk about Broadway all day, every day. Baseball, it's harder.
You know, it's funny, you know, we can absolutely talk about the Broadway, and that's really what we're here to do. You know, you grew up not that far from Tinseltown. Is that how you kind of caught the performing bug at a young age?
I don't really know. I think first they tried putting my brother and I into, you know, sports, which clearly I was just there to socialize. and I think also one year I made the claim that I would only play if I was on the purple team. Like, I didn't want to wear a uniform that was any other color. So I think they were like, maybe put her in a costume, see what happens there. But there was a small theater company in Palm Desert that was on the weekends. And they have a big theater there called McCallum Theater. Actually, a lot of tours go through there. And it was a fully staged production, I think two or three a year with a full orchestra. And I started out, they put my brother and I in Oliver. I think they were just hoping we would, you know, they would just get us out of the house and use up some of that energy because we had tons of it, still do, clearly. and we both, you know, joined this theater company and auditioned. And my brother got Oliver, his first time ever auditioning. And I was singing Milkmaid number two. Singing Milkmaid number one was for a better soloist, but I was singing Milkmaid number two. And I thought if I did all the choreography faster than everyone else, that meant I was the best. So I was on and off the stage before you could even see me. But needless to say, we were in love. We fell in love with it. And I kept doing shows with them all the way until I moved out of Palm Desert. So and I got to do Annie and Annie and Brigida and the Sound of Music. And I was done for. My parents were like, oh, what have we done? My mom writes a Christmas letter every year. And I was reading back from that time in my life. And in that Christmas letter, she was like, I'm pretty sure this is going to stick for a long time. And it has. We're still here. Still doing it. So.
That's for sure. And now let me ask you, I guess when you're in high school, you're doing the musicals in school. What I find it interesting because I guess you went to USC and you were a vocal performance major specializing in opera. Was the intention like to be a singer or an opera singer at that point? Or did you want to do the acting, you know, that one bridges to the other? How did that, what went into that decision?
It's certainly an interesting path to take. Not very many people take that path. But I actually went to a prep school on the East Coast in Boston, right outside of Boston, called Phillips Academy Andover. My family, I have a lot of family back there. My dad went there, my brother went there. So I moved away from home and was boarding in a school at the age of 15. And with Andover, you know, it's a highly academic school. So with the academics plus required study hours, plus required sports, I did cross country.
Nice. Okay.
They also had like cluster soccer. Like if you think about, Harry Potter, like they had different houses, you have different clusters where your dorms are, and they had cluster soccer, cluster, you know, ultimate frisbee. It's so fun. But with all of that required, you know, hours taken up, there really was only an hour or two for singing. So I kind of had to choose between theater and choirs and, you know, that sort of thing. Luckily my senior year, I got to do both. I was the lead in the music. I did Violet, which is such a great show. But it was a lot of work. I really had zero free time. And then on the weekends, because it wasn't a music school, I would take the train into Boston and I studied opera at Boston University. So I started studying classical music and opera in high school. More out of necessity, I think, because I didn't really have enough hours during the week. And we found a great teacher. And then when I was applying to colleges, it just, out of singing, dancing, and acting, singing was the thing I'd always been doing. And my teacher was like, you should be singing classically. You have such, you know, you have this soprano voice. And I decided to go to USC. And then halfway through USC, I sort of was like, wait a second. I'm studying opera during the day and for all of my classes, but then I'm going into my car or my apartment and belting show tunes all night. Like it was still what I really loved to do. And so I kind of transitioned. I ended up changing my major from a Bachelor of Music to a Bachelor of Arts so that I could study abroad and I could do this, the spring musical. And Jason Robert Brown was actually teaching at USC. He was doing a seminar, which was, you auditioned and it was 10 people every Friday for 3 hours with Jason Robert Brown, which I'm still like, I don't know how we all got so lucky because I think it was when he was writing Bridges in Madison County. So he was my professor, which is so funny now. Whenever we see each other, you know, like I've gone to a subculture show or whatever, it's always, it's funny to me that he's like Professor Jason Robert Brown. But he really was so helpful and instrumental because right away he was like, you should be doing this. I don't, you know, why you should be doing musical theater. This is exactly, you're in the right place and this is what you should be doing. And yeah, I don't know. I can keep going the journey. But I basically decided right out of school to, you know, give it a shot, give it a go in LA. And I, 3 months out of college, booked Rock of Ages and the rest is history. So I had to completely relearn how to sing, but it is all, I mean, technique is technique. And I feel really lucky that I have all this, all that, those years of music theory and music knowledge, because it has been so helpful. I just feel like I pick up on things faster and I have a better idea of my technique and what's going on stamina wise. So yeah.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
You mentioned your love of opera, your love of show tunes. Was like 80s rock like a foreign language to you?
I mean, yeah, I was like, fake it till you make it, basically. I mean, every step of the way I had imposter syndrome. I was like, they're going to figure this out that I have no idea what I'm doing. Like, I mean, even the audition itself is so funny because it was, first of all, Rock of Ages, the audition was held at the Hollywood Methodist Church. Because, you know, where else do you go to a dance call to be a stripper? You know, that's all fine. And it was like every step of the way, I was just so clueless. I was the green, as green as they come, you know, and, but I kept telling myself, I remember the first audition, my parents, actually, this is one of the biggest regrets. They told me not to go. They were like, don't go. You're going to blow out your voice. This is not right for you. You know, that sort of thing. And I love my parents. I feel like I got a disclaimer. I love my parents and they always give great advice. This was the one slip up. But I went because I had just signed with a new agent and I felt like I couldn't, I was at that point where you're like, I can't turn down auditions. Like, who am I? I have nothing on my resume. And so I went and I remember telling myself, you know what, if you get through it, just, you get it. I always bribe myself. It's like, you get to go have an ice cream cone. That was the bribe of the day. It was like, you get to go eat ice cream and celebrate even how scary that was and how awful you feel about yourself because you have no idea what you're doing. And I went and I just kept messing everything up, but it was the perfect storm of things. Like, I just was Sherry. Because that's what Sherry would do. Like, she has no idea what's going on. And even in the dance call, we got to the dance call and everyone, you know, there was this, it was like triple pirouette on your knees, like whipping your head around. And I am a strong mover. I am not a dancer per se. And at the time I walked into the room, the Hollywood Methodist Church. And all the girls were in bra tops and like cut off shorts and high heeled boots. And I was in a black dress with character heels and knee pads on. So first thing, I was like sitting against the wall being like, one of these things is not like the other. Like, how did I get here? Just make it till you make it. And we started the routine, triple pirouette, whipping around, you do all the stuff. And I keep up, you know, like I do have some dance background. I can keep up. But at the end, there was this leap that I still have no idea what it was. And I kind of gave up. And Kelly Devine, the original choreographer, you know, Come From Away, Jersey Boys. I mean, she's nominated, might have even won a Tony, Kelly Devine. She's incredible. She called me up in front of everyone. She was like, Carrie St. Louis, come up here. And she whispered in my ear. I mean, I was like 20 years old. She was like, I don't care if you can't do that leap, do something and make it work. And then starting from the top. So now I am fully choreographing my own dance, which is worse than before. And we get to that point in the song and everyone did the leap. And I just walked in a circle like it was the coolest move she had ever seen. Truly, just a circle with a big smile on my face. And I looked at her and she was like crying with laughter because, I mean, that was the choice. And we finished and she just like gave me a wink and I left the room. And then sure enough, I got called back to the final callback and then I found out I got it. And I realized once I was playing Sherry that Sherry has no idea how to be a stripper. Like she's so lost in that world. And I think I just quite literally was her because it's me. I mean, that's what I would do in that situation. But it just kind of goes to show you that so much. I know so many, you know, kids who are wanting to do theater or people coming out of school, you just think you have to be perfect and you have to do everything right. And really it's just, like do the best you can in that situation. And then I ended up making my Broadway debut as Sherry, which is just so wild. It's opera singing, knee pad wearing girl, belting, you know, but I did have to completely relearn how to sing. I had a wonderful coach out in LA, her name's Rachel Lawrence, and she completely transformed my voice so that I could do it healthily 8 times a week. I'd never done a show for longer than a weekend my whole life, you know? So to be going to what ended up being 5 years straight of 8 shows a week between Rock of Ages, Vegas, Rock of Ages, Broadway, Wicked Tour, Wicked Broadway, they completely overlapped. So it's a lot of singing.
Now you mentioned the Broadway debut. Did you catch a lot of Broadway as a kid? Were there many trips to New York that, you know, really helped inspire you to want to pursue this?
Not really. I mean, I went with my Girl Scout troop when I was, you know, really young, and we saw Hairspray. And it's very actually full circle. We saw Hairspray, and you know, one of the girls next to me, you know, tapped me on the shoulder and was like, "That's going to be you someday. I'll never forget it." And I remember thinking, "Oh my gosh, I can't even imagine that that could be my life." And then the crazy thing was that I closed Kinky Boots and Hairspray, you know, was starring Harvey Farstein, and Jerry Mitchell choreographed it. And Jerry Mitchell wrote directed Kinky Boots, and Harvey wrote it. And to be closing their show on Broadway, I mean, it's just such a weird full circle moment for me. But yeah, I only saw Hairspray, and then I saw Spring Awakening when I took a trip in right out of high school, prep school to New York. But other than that, I'd only been to New York twice. So it was kind of scary moving to New York, certainly. But
this is a question that I've never asked on the show. When you make your Broadway debut, do you have a date set and then, you know, you block off like 15 tickets to invite your friends, your family, your siblings? Did you have everyone in the house or people kind of made their way from the West Coast gradually? How did that work?
Yes, we definitely, it was like, I think, and the Helen Hayes is so small. It's the smallest theater on Broadway. I'm pretty sure the whole house was my family and friends. I mean, it was just so, I fully blacked out. I don't remember. This happens to me. Whenever my first night is Glinda on Broadway, don't remember it. I just like go into, I have to sort of like shut down and just go into the mode because I think I like get too nervous, you know? But yeah, Rock of Ages was just a huge party. And then we had, you know, I think it's called Joe, was it called Joe Allen's? That pizza place?
Wait, next door to it's called Joe's. It's called Joe's Pizza. And it's one of my favorites. I love that spot. With the big high ceilings. Yeah.
Yes. We had a big party afterwards. But the you know, the bummer of it all is that you work so hard for this, you know, big night, but then you gotta do it all over again. Sometimes usually after your opening night, you have a two show day the next day. So it was like you can't, it's not like you can like throw them back and, you know, re-kiki with your friends. You have to just go right back home and steam and, you know, drink a bunch of water and go to bed. So, but I was lucky because I had already played the role for a year in Vegas. So it was so ingrained in me at that point. It actually was just adapting to a smaller stage because in Vegas, it was a 2000 seat theater and it was a 90 minute show. So there was a couple added numbers on the in the Broadway show, whole new cast, obviously, but I'm pretty sure they only rehearsed me for, I think I had four rehearsals.
Damn, they really trusted you.
Yeah, I had four rehearsals. I closed in Vegas. I had my last show in Vegas. The next day, I finished my last show in Vegas, flew out on a red eye, and the next day sang the national anthem at Staples Center. And then I had a day to move to New York. And then I started rehearsal the day after that. And then 4 days later, I made my Broadway debut. Crazy! But then again, even when I was finishing up that contract too, I finished my Rock of Ages show. How do I phrase this? Sorry, step back. My last week of the show on Broadway, I was rehearsing for Wicked from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. every day and then going and doing Rock of Ages on Broadway all every night, eight shows. And then I had my last show on a Sunday and on Monday I joined the tour. So it was like great. I mean, madness. And that was on the tail end of coming from Vegas. So, and then from tour to, and then Wicked tour, I went to Broadway right after. So it was 5 years of... I was really ready for a vacation at the end of my Wicked contract, but yeah, I mean, I literally couldn't have imagined it to be any better. That's my ultimate dream, so I'm thrilled. But yeah, a lot of work. Vocal athletes. We are Broadway people are vocal athletes for sure.
I've known you all of a half an hour, Carrie, and I could see that only someone with the type of energy and enthusiasm as you could handle that type of thing. So that's what I love to see. Those are some of my favorite types of baseball players as well.
Just go, you just keep on going until you pass out. But my parents, they picked the right thing for me to harness all this energy. Yeah, so...
We say so often in baseball, you know, fans very much drive the performance. And you certainly had an energetic fan base in Rock of Ages. You know, you go on to play Glinda in Wicked, which is really a show that anyone can love. But, you know, on any given night, you can have a very different audience out there as far as the demographic goes.
Yes.
If it's a school night, if it's tourist season, in Rock of Ages, I feel like it'd be very easy to charge yourself up for the game when you're about to more or less go out there and do a rock concert. What do you remember about, you know, your experience of, you know, having to make adjustments going into a role like Glinda, which, like I said, could have a very different audience on any given night? Yeah.
You know, actually, it's weird. I see where you're coming from. I think it was harder to maneuver Rock of Ages audiences, to be honest, because a lot of Rock of Ages, we would get a lot of tourists in Vegas, certainly same crowd, same type of people. It's a perfect show for Vegas. People loved it in Vegas. They actually had a bourbon room that they created that was a bar based off the musical, and they would give like free Jello shots and people would go there after the show. So it was like very, you know, it was the perfect crowd. New York though, there's so many tourists that I think they've heard Rock of Ages before. There was a movie about it. You know, the tickets are cheap at what is it called? TDF? Yeah. Oh my God. Today Ticks or whatever, you know? So I think a lot of times with Rock of Ages, we would get crowds that did not know what they had signed up for. And that was really interesting to be like, okay, we're still, it's in your face, you know? And a Sunday matinee of Rock of Ages is a whole different world than a Saturday night of Rock of Ages. So that was really a lot of ebb and flow in terms of audience participation. Wicked, I don't know, I think Wicked is such an amazing show all around. So is Rock of Ages, certainly, but it's like a very specific show. Wicked, I think everyone gets into Wicked, you know? And if they're not sold at the beginning, they're sold by the end, for sure. There's no way of getting out of Wicked and not feeling something at all, you know? So, and also the Gershwin is such a big theater that, you know, there were certainly shows where you felt like a rock star, but there were other there were a lot of shows where you don't really hear the audience as much because it's such a big space. So I don't know. And it's easier to get more into the story of Wicked whenever you feel like maybe the audience isn't amping you up the way you need to be amped that day. You can just invest in that story and invest in how you're connecting with everybody on stage. Whereas Rock of Ages, like, you really need that, like, you need everybody to be partying with you, because partying alone is awkward. It's awkward. And also, like, forcing someone to party with you is awkward. You're like, oh, come on. I got to do it anyways. It's my job. Like, have a good time. You bought the ticket. You're here, you know? Whereas Wicked, I think everyone gets into the party by the end. It's a different kind of party, for sure. It's a deep cut party, but yeah.
People laugh because, you know, I've said on the show before, there's a handful of shows that I've seen twice in my life, and Wicked is one of them. People would be surprised, but it's been on Broadway so damn long. So, like, yeah. How can it not be at this point? Yeah. You know?
And there's always people, you know, coming and going, and they have new people playing. They keep it very fresh. And I mean, Wicked's just the best. I always feel awkward because people are like, you know, what's the best Broadway show? And I'm like, well, it feels weird to be the one I was in, but Wicked is such a good show. You can't deny it. It's good.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
But you ever have any crazy mishaps in the bubble, or like any like funny stories with that?
How much time do you have? I actually have a whole segment in my solo show about just all, it's like a, you know, it's a whole block of things. I'd say one of the funniest, oh my gosh, there's so many. One of the funniest was one time, well, this was kind of, it was funny, but also kind of traumatic. The bubble, so if the bubble isn't working, you just kind of parade onto the stage like a parade float. And it's a little awkward, and everyone kind of gets to their knees and pretends like, whoa, but it's weird. And one time it was the end of the show. So I'd flown out in the bubble and that was fine. But then at the end of the show, spoiler alert, if you haven't seen Wicked, maybe like tune out for a second, but she gets back into the bubble at the very end. And the end of the show, she's up in the bubble holding the Grimmery to finish it out. And it's so like devastating. And it's this, it's like the big moment. And I turn around to get in the bubble and the bubble's just not there. And I'm like, okay, bubble's not there. Cool. So I am like, I'm an amazing improv actor. I will just walk to where the bubble would be suspended in the air and just stand there. And so I walk over. And I start to feel something dripping onto my wig and my costume. And I slowly look up and the bubble is above me. It got stuck. And the bubble also has bubbles that come out of it from, and the bubble juice is just dumping on my head. The bubble juice that is used to make these bubbles is now pouring onto me. So again, I'm like, I'm an amazing actress. I'm going to pretend it's raining and I'm really sad and everything's sad because I can't start laughing. There's no way you can laugh at this point in the show. It is like the most devastating thing has just happened to Glinda. And so I'm sitting there and I'm like, it's raining. I'm so sad. I'm so forlorn. I'm standing in this spot. And then I realize I don't have the grimoire because I normally, the monkey chistery brings it to you when you get into the bubble, but I never got in the bubble. So I signal him over, you know, again, great actress. Here I am signaling slowly. He comes over, slips in the bubble juice. And like, you know, like the craziest, most almost comedic, you can't believe it really happened because they're wearing these metal wings, slips and his back slammed, the wings slam against the stage. And then he just crawled off the stage. And the horrible part about this is like he herniated a disc and he was out. Like it was actually a serious injury. Again, sports, we are athletes, sports injury saved the game. But I had to sit out for the rest of the next 3 months because of it. And then I have to stand there with all of this trauma that's just happened. And I'm like, who can save my bitches? Like, just have to like go right into it. And I mean, that was truly a crazy on Broadway. Just everything went wrong. So yeah, I'd say that's one of them. I mean, one time in Popular, only my bed came out. Elphaba's bed didn't come out. So then it was like, did they share a bed in college? A whole different tone. By the end of it, we were like in a full breakup. It was intense. It was really intense. I smacked myself with the wand so many times, like bleeding. I forgot the words one time. And I do this thing where when I forget the words, which we call going to the white room, which everyone has experienced, and it's horrifying. It was on tour. It was right before I knew I was coming to Broadway. I think it was like, I'd done 120 shows. No, longer than that. I'd been doing it for like a year at this point. And I got up for Thank Goodness. And it's the point in the show where Glinda is facing the audience, but also the whole ensemble is facing Glinda. So everyone is staring at you, including your fellow actors and friends and comrades. And I started singing and I started going, what's next? What's next? What's next? And then you just start panicking and you just turn white and the sweat starts to run down. And I have this rare ability to not get quieter or stop singing or make up something. No, no, no. I go full tone deaf. And I lose the words and the pitch and all sense of reality. And it looks like I'm maybe having a bit of a stroke, which is really fun for everyone witnessing it. Especially the conductor. You can imagine the conductor was like terrified as like what's happening. So, and I sing like Miranda sings, which if any of you listening know who that is, she's a YouTube star that basically sings tone deaf. So I get up and I'm like, we couldn't be happier, right here. Couldn't be happier, right here. Da da bon ding, da da bon ding, da da bon dong's a bang date. Sweat dripping down my face. And then I got right back on. It was like, he couldn't look handsomer. Right back. Like nothing happened. And everyone in the ensemble was like shell-shocked. And I'll never forget, whenever I tell this story, I give her credit. One of my co-workers, Callie Grinder, she's been in Frozen, she's in Michael Jackson, she's like a legendary Broadway dancer, beautiful Broadway dancer. She did that thing where I locked eyes with her when it was happening mid-stroke. And she did the thing that you do when a baby's talking to you, where they're like, blah, 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 and you're like, uh-huh, yeah, totally, I know, where you act like you know what they're saying. She was looking at me like, would not break, was just like, yep, that's exactly what the words are. And you are amazing. Like, I had her like just stronghold in my, just in my, you know, line of sight, not even physically. But yeah, got right back on. And then I left, and it was so funny because every member of the ensemble repeated that exact da-da-pa-ti-da-da-pa-ti-da-da-pa-ton-sipated is exactly what it was, apparently. And yeah, that was really, wow. I think I lost like 10 pounds that next week because I thought, I don't know the show anymore. And I was set. I already knew I was going to Broadway. And I was like, I'm going to get to Broadway. And I don't know the show. And I would spend all day, every day, going through every single line in the show. All day. I mean, I was like a total nervous wreck. It was horrible. But we lived. We survived.
Absolutely.
I mean, we didn't tell the tale. And now it's really funny. But it was not funny at the time at all. So, yeah. Those are just a couple. I mean, there's so many more.
You know, you've been the lead in so many different shows. You're a lot like Araldus Chapman because you're always center stage. Everyone's paying attention when he comes into the game. Which of those three roles that you've done would you say that you felt like, damn, I made it?
I mean, Wicked. Yeah. I mean, Glinda was my, as that's like, what a, it's so, it's just a dream, you know? I saw it when I was 15 and was like, oh, that's my dream role. You know, so definitely Wicked. But I will say Kinky Boots, I've never had so much fun in my life. Kinky Boots was the most fun show, bar none. And Rock of Ages was just like, I just, so much Red Bull. So much Red Bull. Even for me, I needed Red Bull for that show. But I'm also so glad that that was my Broadway debut because the cast of that, it's like a cast of misfits. It's a cast of people that like, are like, how did I get to Broadway? They're all rock stars, you know? So it's just, it was such a fun group of people. It was not musical theater people, really. It was way more a bunch of misfits that were like, cool, I'm on Broadway. Like, awesome. Which is a great way to start out. Way less pressure. Wicked was definitely, for me, monumental as just a goalpost. You know, it's like, oh my God, that's the ultimate. But it was a lot. It's very high pressure situation. It's a well-oiled machine, and it's a billion-dollar enterprise. So when you're leading something like that, there's a lot of pressure involved with that. Not to mention that, you know, when I was there the 13th anniversary, 13 years of people playing this role, and everyone's got their favorite and everyone has something to say about it. And, you know, learning how to navigate that and stay true to yourself and true to what you do best and not let all of that sort of start to mess with you. So then when I got to Kinky Boots, I was like, I'm here to have a good time.
And, you know, it's just funny because, you know, there's certain roles on Broadway that we sort of associate with prime real estate. And we get that in baseball too. You know, a lot of great teams are synonymous with the all-stars that they had playing a certain position. It's like, you know, the Yankee closer, Araldus Chapman has followed in the path that Mariano and Goose Gossage paved before him. And, you know, they're both in the Hall of Fame and Chapman is, of course, going to join them there someday. Yeah. But he's also incredibly unique because he holds the record for fastest fastball ever thrown. And he does all of that with a secondary pitch, which, you know, that's a huge weapon and it's his slider. So he's not just a flamethrower. He's not a one-dimensional player. Mm-hmm. You've taken on a lot of roles that were originated. Like you said, everyone has their favorite sometimes. And that, you know, followed some of the greatest lineages of Broadway performers. I mean, Glinda, Kristen Chenoweth originated it. And, you know, even Rock of Ages with Sherry K. Rockwell did it. What is it about your style that you think makes you stand out to certain organizations like a Wicked, like a Rock of Ages, like a Kinky Boots that separates you from another player that the show realistically could use at that position? A little baseball phrase there.
Yeah. Oh, that's a hard question. You know, it is interesting because it's funny. Like you say, like a Kate Rockwell, like there is a group of us that will all play very similar roles, right? We're all the same type. If you're taking it down to type. And anytime I'm in an audition room and I see, you know, Kate or Taylor, or you see all the same, you know, the same group of people, right? And it could go any way. Any one of us could play that role and it would be great. You know, I'm in awe of everyone I've like ever even shared a role with. I'm like, wow, I can't even believe I'm up to their level, you know, in a way. But we all bring something a little bit different, you know? And I think for me, I think I'm very high energy. I'm pretty spazzy in a way. I think my humor comes from just being like, look, like I will do anything. I'm like, what do you want to see? I'll speak Chinese. I'll do the splits. I'll do, you know, I have no shame in this game whatsoever. It is like, I have acknowledged that I'm not very cool. And I don't know if I'll ever be like a cool person. That's just not my MO. I am very high energy, weird. I don't know, like loud. I'm that person. And I think sometimes, you know, with these roles, like Lauren or Glinda, even Glinda can be played like almost like a Southern debutante. That's a way, like, you know, a lot of people have played her. She's very, you know, prim and proper, and she knows, and I just did not play her that way. I just don't, that's not who I am. You know, I was more like, yuck, yuck, yuck. Like, let me lift my leg over my head and let me do the splits and let me just do all sorts of weird energy things. Like, it was like popular was like an aerobics workout, you know, I'm just bouncing around the stage. And there's something, I think there's something too, that someone bringing that kind of energy to a stage, when you're watching that sort of energy, you are drawn in by it. So I think that might be it. My strength. I mean, we're all funny. We're all funny girls. You know, I feel very lucky that all the roles I've played have been like the funny girl. I definitely, that's my favorite thing to play. I think there's so much you can do with that. You can change it up every single night and do something different depending on how the audience is reacting. It's just never ending. Comedy is such a fine line. And I feel like I would, it never got stale or boring. I know people say that all the time. Like, how do you do the same show every single night for a year, 2 years? It just never gets boring with comedy, because the second I'd get bored with a joke, I'd tell it in a different way and see how it landed that time, you know, feel it out. So yeah, I don't know. It's hard to be like, I'm better at this than other people. I don't really know. I think everyone is amazing, and it's just sort of, everyone puts their own spin on it, which is what's so cool about Broadway, that you can, the same role can be played by two different people in completely different ways. And that will read to different audience members.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com, and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
It's so true. And, you know, is there a certain type of role that you would really like to originate, or is there like a role that you've always had your eyes on that you, you know, really want to take on? Do you ever give any thought to that?
I mean, yes. I mean, I would love to originate any role. That is certainly a dream. Well, I am originating a role off. There's a show called Between Lines coming off Broadway. We actually were starting rehearsals a week after everything went down with what's happening in the world, which is crazy. I was 2 days before I was set to move back to New York to do a show this summer. It was at Second Stage. It's Between the Lines. It's directed by Jeff Calhoun, produced by Daryl Roth, written by Jody Picholt. It's a beautiful story. So we're now slated for spring 2021. So I will, with any luck of whatever happens in the universe, I will be originating a role in a show. But I would love to. I gotta play Elle Woods in Legally Blonde. It's gotta happen. We did the Legally Blonde at 54 Below. I think my timeline was off. When it was on Broadway, I was in high school. And then when it was being done regionally everywhere, I was in Wicked, and I, you know, I couldn't leave to do anything, nor would I want to really. But yeah, I just want to try my hand at Legally Blonde for sure. I think it's pretty obvious, but trying to think what else. I would love to do like a classic musical. it was funny because once I did Rock of Ages, I was sort of known in the industry as a rock singer. I was only getting called in for rock stuff. And I went to my agent and was like, I'm a classical soprano. I'm faking it right now. Like, I want to do classical soprano. And then when I got Wicked, people all the time at the stage were shocked by, they were like, I didn't know you had such, the soprano notes. And I'm like, yeah, that's what I do. That's actually like what I do best. So I would love to take on a classical, Clara Light in the Piazza situation, or, a Julie Jordan or something like that, where I got to really live in that world, or, Eliza Doolittle, or I don't know, something like that. Actually, Eliza Doolittle would be really fun because she's comedy and soprano. She Loves Me would be a great show. I would love to do that show. I'd like to do it all.
Those are some great ones, but I'd actually love to see your take on Elle Woods. I could definitely see it. That would be awesome.
Come on. I get stopped. I get told multiple times a day or multiple days a week that I look like Reese Witherspoon. I did Cruel Intentions when it was at Poisson Rouge, and I played Reese's role. So, I'd love to do that. That's my girl.
I like Reese too. She's good. You're good too, Carrie. And I'm sure the bat heads at home are probably wondering, wait a second, Al, how come you didn't do the seventh inning stretch tonight? I'm not going to do the seventh inning stretch tonight because I actually just enjoyed hearing what you have to say so much that I think that I have to present you with a little something that we usually give to our folks who, whether or not they enter the winner's circle is one thing during our baseball and Broadway trivia. But we like to give this like kind of like an official welcoming, like initiation gift.
I'm so nervous.
It's a gift. What do you think it is? Like,
yeah, that's true. I do love gifts.
So this is.
I love gifts. My love language.
This is your official Chapman on Broadway Break a Bat long sleeve T-shirt.
Wow.
So you got like our little show swag on the back, and you've got. Raldus Chapman's number on the front right there.
Wow.
This like officially welcomes you to the baseball and Broadway community. And
gosh, thank you so much. I feel like I have to tell you, when Tiki Barber was in Kinky Boots with me, he was a Broadway star, the Broadway star. And he had Cece came and watched the show. And I knew Cece was coming. Told me ahead of time. So I had a Yankees hat that my dad never saw. And Cece signed it for me. So I have a signed Yankees hat, which makes me feel very cool.
I love that. He was on stage last year in Rock of Ages with Chapman.
Oh, wait, that's right. Wait, was he in Rock of Ages?
Cece was actually in it, and he brought Chapman with him because I am not going to take credit for this, but we started. Have you seen our Instagram?
Yes.
Okay. I have a feeling that we had something to do with Araldus Chapman being at Rock of Ages. He does not speak English. He was sitting in the audience filming the show, by the way, just, bad theater etiquette all around. And we are convinced that Cece invited him there to screw with him because of this Instagram page.
Oh my gosh. Funny. Interesting.
Yeah. So I don't know. That's the theory that's going around, and I'm sticking to it.
Yeah. Totally.
Carrie, you've been awesome tonight. And, we do one last segment to wrap every show. It's called Fastball Derby. I'll ask you a question. You say the first thing that comes to mind.
Okay.
Favorite New York City meal.
There is a 99-cent pizza place right by where the Late Night with Stephen Colbert is,
that's right by our studio where we usually are. Yeah.
That place, their hot sauce and their 99 cent pizza. Oh my gosh. That was a treat every not every night. I would allow myself like once a week coming over.
Something about Carrie St. Louis that would surprise people the most.
Oh, wow. I can beatbox.
Can you give us an example really quick?
It rolled off the tongue and then I was like, oh no. Okay, I'm going to give a little one. It's not that impressive, but I can do something. Okay. That's it.
Pardon me while I stand up and applaud. Wow. Damn, Carrie.
Look out, world.
That is epic.
I'll rap because we don't want to know what would have happened in that situation.
Your Desert Island album.
Maggie Rogers. Currently.
All-time favorite film.
This is a weird one, and everyone I'd say this to is kind of confused by it, but it's called Patch Adams. It's a Robin Williams movie. He plays a doctor, and he reminds me a lot of my dad, and my dad is a doctor, so that movie, it makes me cry like no other. But yeah, that's my favorite.
Baseball player that you think would make the best Broadway actor?
Chapman. Let's see it happen. Do you agree?
I mean, I could not agree more. I'm just glad that there are, you know, some all-stars in the Broadway community that recognize his talent and passion and flair, you know, pizazz. For theatric pizzazz.
Baby, that's showbiz.
Did you have a favorite role of his that you saw on the Chapman on Broadway page? I mean, our avatar is him in the blue hairspray wig. I mean, there's like a lot. You think of something, we probably have done it.
What would I want to see? Wait, even female roles?
Oh, yeah. He's done Regina George. He's done Elphaba. He's done the Hello Dolly.
Oh, that's what I want to see. I want to see him as Hello Dolly.
Yeah, we considered making his translator Marlon Glinda, but it just might have been a bit much.
Yeah. Stick to the basics.
Yes, exactly. Actor or actress you'd love to share a scene with?
Actor or actress I'd love to share. Broadway? Actor, actress? Yeah.
You could say anything you want. There's no rules in Fastball Derby.
Wow. I would love to work with Kelly O'Hara. Play a young Kelly O'Hara. Be friends with Kelly O'Hara.
Is that someone you looked up to growing up?
Yes. I think she's incredible. Her vote, her voice. Ooh. I want to steal it. I want to Ursula her voice and take it forever.
Favorite late night snack? Two show day at the Gershwin. You get home, it's after midnight. What's Carrie grabbing before she hits the couch?
Ooh, I love popcorn. I love a Simply Pop popcorn situation. Is that what it's called? Simply Pop? I think so. What else do I eat late at night? Oh, I love frozen grapes. If you freeze grapes, they are like little tiny ice creams. They're so good. They're so much better frozen.
Fairly healthy too. Okay.
Yeah, I always have frozen grapes. And I like tea at night too. Especially if I'm doing a show, I definitely drink tea before bed.
Proudest moment of your career?
Oh, when my Nana came to see me in Kinky Boots, just because, you know, she had been having some health complications and I know that the flight was hard and she had to be, you know, wheeled around. My aunt was wheeling her around New York City in a wheelchair, which she looked fabulous doing. And she came and saw Kinky Boots and just loved it. And at the end was standing up and dancing and, it just, yeah, that's very important and very special for me. So.
And lastly, what's the best piece of advice anyone ever gave you and what was it?
My favorite quote is, luck is opportunity meeting a prepared mind. So I have always felt like I've been very lucky in general. But I also realized that luck, yes, you are lucky. You get the opportunity. But I was prepared for everything that's happened to me. And I've worked so hard for everything that's happened. Once I get the opportunity, I'm prepared and I worked so hard that it doesn't even seem like luck anymore. So I think just always, and it's good to know to always be ready. You know, sometimes, especially in this business, there are times where you're not working and you're auditioning and, you know, things aren't hitting, you know, and you're just sort of like, well, what's next and what's going to happen? And the best motivation for me is just being like, I'm just going to be as prepared as possible for when it does happen, because then I'll be ready for it. So I think that's my favorite. And be kind to everyone you meet, everyone you work with, everyone you see, every human in the world, because they will come back again. And you don't want to be the person that steps on people to get to the top and then realize that you're at the top and you have nobody around you.
You know, I think that's something that could certainly serve you really well, you know, whether you're trying to be a professional baseball player or, you know, trying to make your mark on Broadway, which you certainly have, Carrie. So I can't thank you enough for coming on tonight. You've been great.
Thanks for having me. And thanks for my cool swag. I'm excited. I'm going to rock it.
We call that Chapman swag. It's a hashtag.
Swag. All right. The Chapman swag.
Well, we're happy that you'll get to sport it. And we're looking forward to seeing you back here in New York whenever we get out of this thing. And very much looking forward to it.
Thanks for having me.
That'll close out the Vol game here on Break a Bat. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening to Break a Bat. This is produced by the fine folks at the Broadway Podcast Network. Visit and subscribe at bpn.fm/breakabat. You can find me online at break_a_bat_podcast. And you can also find the Broadway Podcast Network on Instagram at Broadway Podcast Network. It's been so great having you here with us today, and we'll see you next time.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.